Begwete. Spiritual masters.
Prasadataha.
Satisfied. Vipraha. The Brahmanas. Cha. And. Vridaha.
Those who are elderly.
Cha. And.
Sat
anuvritcha.
By our gentle behavior.
Arya.
Those who are advanced in spiritual knowledge.
Nataha.
We're offered obeisances.
Suradaha.
Friends.
Brataraha.
Brothers.
Cha.
And.
Sarvani.
All.
Bhutani.
Living entities.
Anasuyaya.
Eva.
Certainly.
And I'm just going to read the next text, and then we'll go on to the word-by-word synonyms for the next text.
Yanna sutaptam tapahetarisha nirandasam kalam adabramapsu sarvam tadaritat purushashapuno vrenimahete paritoshanaya.
Okay.
Yat.
What?
Naha.
Of us.
Sutaptam.
Severe.
Tapaha.
Penance.
Etat.
This.
Isha.
O Lord.
Nirandasam.
Without taking any food.
Kalam.
Time.
Adabram.
For a long duration.
Apsu.
Within the water.
Sarvam.
All.
Tat.
That.
Etat.
This.
Purushasya.
Of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Bhumnaha.
The most exalted.
Vrinimahe.
We want this benediction.
Te.
Of you.
Paritoshanaya.
For the satisfaction. Translation, Dear Lord, we have studied the Vedas, accepted a spiritual master, and offered respect to brahmanas, advanced devotees, and aged personalities who are spiritually very advanced. We have offered our respects to them, and we have not been envious of any brother, friends, or anyone else. We have also undergone severe austerities within the water and have not taken food for a long time. All these spiritual assets of ours are simply offered for your satisfaction. We pray for this benediction only and nothing more. So you can repeat.
Dear Lord, we have studied the Vedas.
Dear Lord, we have studied the Vedas.
Accepted a spiritual master.
Offered respect to brahmanas.
And offered respect to brahmanas.
Advanced devotees and aged personalities.
Who are spiritually very advanced.
We have offered our respects to them.
We have offered our respects to them.
And we have not been envious of any brother.
We have not been envious of any brother.
Friends or anyone else.
We have also undergone severe austerities within the water.
And have not taken food for a long time.
All these spiritual assets of ours.
Are simply offered for your satisfaction.
We pray for this benediction only.
And nothing more.
Purport
by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
As stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam,
Samsidhir Hari Toshanam.
The real perfection of life is pleasing the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Vedaischa saver ahameva vedyaha.
In understanding the Vedas, one has to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
One who has actually understood Him surrenders unto Him after many, many births.
We find all these qualifications in the Prachetas.
They underwent severe austerities and penances within the water and did not take any food for a very long time. They practiced these austerities not for material benediction, but for the satisfaction of the Supreme Lord. One may engage in any business, material or spiritual, but the purpose should be the satisfaction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This verse presents a perfect picture of Vedic civilization. People training to become devotees should be respectful to not only to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but also to those who are elderly in knowledge, who are Aryans and actual devotees of the Lord. An Aryan is one who does not boast, but is an actual devotee of the Lord. Aryan means advanced. Formerly, those who claimed to be Aryans had to be devotees of the Lord. For instance, in Bhagavad Gita, in the second chapter, text 2, Krishna chastised Arjuna by saying that he was speaking like a non-Aryan. Shri Bhagavana Vacha, Akutastva Kashmalamidam, Vishamem Samupashtitam, Anarya Jushtam Asvargyam, Akirti Karam Arjuna. The Supreme Person Bhagavan said, "My dear Arjuna, how have these impurities come upon you? They are not at all befitting a man who knows the progressive values of life. They do not lead to higher planets, but to infamy." Arjuna the Kshatriya was refusing to fight despite being directly ordered by the Supreme Lord. He was thus chastised by the Lord as belonging to a non-Aryan family. Anyone who is advanced in the devotional service of the Lord certainly knows his duty. It does not matter whether his duty is violent or non-violent. If it is sanctioned and ordered by the Supreme Lord, it must be performed. An Aryan performs his duty. It is not that the Aryans are unnecessarily inimical to living entities. The Aryans never maintain slaughterhouses, and they are never enemies of poor animals. The Pachetas underwent severe austerities for many, many years, even within the water. Accepting austerities and penances is the avowed business of those interested in advanced civilization. The word nirandasam means without food. Eating voraciously and unnecessarily is not the business of an Aryan. Rather, the eating process should be restricted as far as possible. When Aryans eat, they eat only prescribed eatables. Regarding this, the Lord says in the Bhagavad Gita, in the 9th chapter, text 26, Patam pushpam palam toiham nyome bhakcha prayachati tadaham bhakchuparittam ashnami prayatatmanaha. If one offers me with love and devotion a leaf, a flower, fruit, or water, I will accept it. Thus there are restrictions for the advanced Aryans. Although the Lord himself can eat anything and everything, he restricts himself to vegetables, fruits, milk, and so on. This verse thus describes the activities of those who claim to be Aryans. So, Om Ganat Timidanda Shah, Gananjana Shlakaya Chakshurun Miditam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So, it's interesting, this whole discussion about austerities. Now, austerities and penances are pretty much the same thing. So, in the Gita, Krishna actually breaks down austerities into different modes of nature. Actually talks about the three modes of nature. And we're going to add a fourth category. That is the austerities meant to please Krishna. Because there's austerities in goodness, material passion, and material ignorance, and also transcendental austerities. So as far as the austerities in goodness, Krishna breaks them down into three categories: body, speech, and mind. It's interesting, isn't it? In the other modes of nature, Krishna doesn't break them down to different categories, although he mentions things that relate to those three, but there's actually three separate verses dealing with body, speech, and mind as far as austerities in the mode of goodness. Now, as far as austerities in the mode of goodness, and we find the Pachetas did this, to worship and respect superiors like father, mother, elderly persons, and also, and of course, guru,
and the Supreme Personality of God and all those things. And but also to cultivate simplicity in one's life. Simplicity, of course, means not accepting more than necessary. And of course, that relates to all sorts of things like the housing. It relates to food. It relates to clothes. In other words, someone like Imelda Marcos. I don't know if you ever heard of her before. She was the one who accumulated like thousands of or tens of thousands of shoes. So that would not be someone an appropriate austerity for someone to have more shoes than necessary, more dotties than necessary, more cars than necessary. I remember there was one time a sannyasi, he's not a sannyasi anymore, but he had like 20 cars in his garage and something like 100, 150 guitars. So a sannyasi should only have one guitar. So anyway, so simplicity, cleanliness, and of course celibacy is actually extremely important in the mode of goodness. Celibacy, of course, that means, of course nowadays that may be a little controversial, but celibacy means that there's the sex life is only for procreation. That's what celibacy means. And that's a type of celibacy. You know, someone who is actually engaged in that only for procreation, that's considered, he's considered like a brahmachari. A brahmachari means one who behaves in accordance with the goal of Brahman. That's the literal definition of brahmachari. So, you know, celibacy is extremely important. And finally, nonviolence. And this is also an interesting term, nonviolence. I'd like to unpack that a little bit. Nonviolence, Prabhupada describes nonviolence simply not simply as not, you know, physically attacking someone or hurting someone physically like the Jains might define it. Because the Jains, they wear this mask on their face. Some of them do. Not all of them nowadays. The Jains, they wear the mask on the face so they don't breathe in any microbes and hurt any microbes. They're so much attached to this concept of nonviolence. But Prabhupada defines nonviolence as not impeding anyone's spiritual progress, which is an interesting definition because it also contains within that definition not hurting anyone physically. Because if you hurt someone physically, let's say you kill someone, you're actually impeding their spiritual progress. Of course, they'll get a chance to take up from whatever point they were at in this life, in the next life, but still, you're delaying it. You're impeding their spiritual progress. Or another understanding of that would be someone who has taken a spiritual position, whether that would be, you know, a guru or a temple president or a GBC, some position, and acting in such a way as to traumatize someone who is wanting to be a devotee of the Lord or traumatizing someone who might become a devotee of the Lord. So we have to be very, very careful in dealing with the living entities and not to traumatize them. I remember, I mean, just to tell you a little bit of ISKCON history, many of our devotees in the past were traumatized for a variety of reasons, perhaps because someone was applying the philosophy in a ritualistic way without a way of understanding how to adjust it according to time, place, and circumstance. I mean, I'll give you an example that sometimes in the school, the Gurukulas, the children were preached to in such a way that, like, your mother is not actually your mother. It's all Maya. It's all illusion. Actually, Krishna is your real father. Radharani is your mother. And you know, in one sense, yes, you could say that's true. That, you know, actually, all this is temporary. You know, your mother in this life is just your mother in this life. Your mother in this life is not going to be your mother eternally. And I thank God for that every day. But anyway, so this is pretty good, isn't it? So, but basically, it's traumatic. We have to understand where people are at, what they're psychological and physical and emotional needs are, so we don't like traumatize them in Krishna consciousness. I remember also the physical austerities when we first joined the movement traumatized people. That not everyone did traumatize me, but one of the physical austerities we had when I first joined the movement was you're not allowed to sleep more than 5 hours a night. And that meant while we were driving a car, we would generally take our naps while driving a car. Take our naps like at the stoplights. Other devotees didn't take the naps at the stoplights. They took the naps while they were on the highway. And there was disaster. So, you know, austerity is something like, I mean, just talking about austerity in the mode of goodness. Prabhupada compared austerity to be, or sense gratification. You know, sense gratification and austerity are opposite sides of the same coin. He described it like understanding how much salt to put in your food. You understand? Like if you put too much salt in the food, it's actually quite dangerous. It can cause you kidney damage. It can cause you high blood pressure. So many things can happen from too much salt. Of course, if you go to Fiji, then they put some vegetables in the salt, not some salt in the vegetables. It's the opposite. I mean, it's just like, when I try to taste the Mahaprasadam, it's just like, even if I taste one little bit, because I usually don't eat things, you know, cooked in ghee and everything, even one little bit is just, it practically burns my tongue. It has so much salt. They have to order the salt. They have to order the salt in bulk. I mean, super bulk, truckloads, basically. So, the sense gratification is something like that. We have to understand how much someone needs, but not more than that, because more than that will agitate the senses. As was described the other day, you know, udara pashta vegam, like the tongue, belly, genitals, spine, anger, like Prabhupada describes in the commentary, the Upadeshamrita, they're all in a line, tongue, belly, genitals. And so if you eat too much, then you'll be agitated in different ways. So we have to understand what's appropriate austerities for each individual, which is kind of hard. Because what works for you may not work for me, and vice versa. You know, people need a different level of material accommodations in this world. So anyway, so getting back to the point about nonviolence, being nonviolent means to understand that when you're dealing with people and not to demand too much austerities on someone. So it's interesting. So that's austerities. Those are austerities of the body. And austerities of the speech are quite interesting, too. We're just talking about goodness right now. We're still on goodness. We haven't gotten to passion or ignorance or transcendental stuff. So austerities of the speech are satya priya itam, Bhagavad Gita. To speak truthfully, pleasingly, and beneficially. Those are the three requirements. Of course, it also mentions to regularly recite the Vedic literatures. That's also another austerity of speech. But I want to concentrate on those three. Satya prihitam. So sometimes we can speak the truth, but it may not be pleasing and it may not be beneficial to people. Of course, when one is giving a lecture, then you have to speak in a different way than when you're speaking on a in a person-to-person basis with someone. Sometimes with lectures, they have to be very, very heavy. But of course, when you're dealing directly with someone, you don't want to like fry them out by telling them that they're in Maya, they're in illusion. Unless they're ready to take it, it'll encourage them in devotional service. So it means, you know, sometimes bending over backwards in dealing with people. And not really telling, like Prabhupada would sometimes say, you know, if you understood how contaminated you are, you'd probably faint or get discouraged in Krishna consciousness. You know, because Prabhupada could see our contaminations. So can you imagine, like if Prabhupada said, you know, boy, your heart, he did say that in general, but your heart is like a piece of coal. That the more you wash it, you know, if he said that to me, I'd get very discouraged. If Prabhupada said, Dear Krishna Maharaj, your heart is like a piece of coal, and the more you're trying to wash it, the dirtier your hands get. So, you know, what's the use? Anyway, I get very discouraged. But Prabhupada would say that in a lecture. He wouldn't say that individually to someone. He wouldn't say, Maha Mantra, your heart is a piece of coal. Even though it may be true. But I'm not saying that it's true, but I'm just speaking a little theoretically. So one has to speak in a way to tell the truth, that we don't lie, we don't change things. You know, Prabhupada didn't change the Siddhanta. This is a very important point, too, that there are some groups outside of ISKCON that say that, you know, Prabhupada adjusted the Siddhanta for preaching purposes. Let me explain what I mean. I'm going to get more specific. They say that they're talking about the origin of the jiva. The jiva, that's us. Everybody know that jiva? You're the jiva. So they talk about the origin of the jiva, and they say, well, Prabhupada said, you know, we came from the spiritual world just because we wouldn't accept anything else. Actually, we would accept whatever Prabhupada told us. And Prabhupada certainly never changed. He could have won a lot more followers by changing different things, you know, International Society for Spiritual Consciousness instead of Krishna Consciousness. You know, Prabhupada could have, like all these bogus gurus in the 1960s and 70s, they meant so many followers simply by telling the followers they could do whatever they wanted. So Prabhupada didn't adjust things for followers. Prabhupada didn't adjust the number of rounds. Of course, 16, you know, obviously there were 64 before, but Prabhupada stuck very tightly to 16 rounds. So, you know, so in other words, Prabhupada was very, very strict about these. So Prabhupada never changed the Siddhanta. And so therefore, Prabhupada observed these austerities of speech. Satya Priyahitam. He spoke truthfully all the time. And sometimes it was a little cutting. But it was good for the person, beneficial for the person. Whatever Prabhupada said was beneficial. Even if it was cutting. It's like a surgeon sometimes has to take a knife, right? And cut out your heart. Cut out some growth or something that's threatening your health. So Prabhupada was like an expert surgeon. So he's always preaching beneficially, and it was pleasing to the soul. So that's such a prihitam, and Prabhupada was always regularly reciting or making reference to everything he said was reference to Vedic literatures. And then finally, the austerity in the mode of goodness is austerity of the mind. That's perhaps the hardest austerity. I mean, it's easy to execute physical austerity. Maybe not standing on your tiptoes for hundreds of years like Hiranyakashipu. I mean, I don't think I could do that. But physical austerity, I mean, physical austerity for me is quite easy. I mean, you just like, you could sleep on the floor. You know, now they give you a futon, but I'm just trying to think of ways to get rid of the damn thing. So, you know, just Krishna. You know, Lord Chaitanya slept on the floor all the time. Did you know that? And his followers, Jagannanda Pandit in particular, tried to get him a bed. Did you know that? They tried to give him a bed and also other things like sandalwood oil to rub on his head. And he refused to accept those things. He said he refused. And finally, they had to take one of his old dhotis and fill it with, like, ripped-up banana leaves and made him like a semi-bed. But Lord Chaitanya would always sleep on the floor, like a, you know, just basically a mat on the floor. So those austerities are there. I'm not saying that we all have to do that. When I joined the movement, of course, we all slept on the floor. Now everybody has their nice little bed and cushion mattress and everything like that. But that those are easier. The point I'm making is those are easier than austerities of the mind. Austerities of the mind are basically, as listed by Krishna in the Gita, satisfaction. That's a hard one. I mean, it sounds very easy. Satisfied. Be satisfied. Be satisfied. But with whatever Krishna has given you. You know, some people are meant to have more. Some people are meant to have less. Some people are meant to have a mansion. Some people are meant to just, like, live in a tent or on the floor or in their... How do you live? Mahabharata. In a car. Of course, those people should not be getting married because you can't have a couple living in a car, especially when there's babies coming. So, I mean, You know, at that point, you have to understand other limitations. You know, you get married, you drive off, you know, with the tin cans behind the car. But that's your home. Wouldn't be appropriate. So anyway, be satisfied with whatever Krishna sends. The satisfaction. It's a very important point to cultivate. You know, I am to be satisfied. You know, that's what Krishna sent me. There's, you know, someone may have more, someone may have less. That's my quota. Hare Krishna. And not to accept more than your quota also. And then the next one is simplicity. Being very simple. Not a complicated, sophisticated, whatever person. That doesn't mean simple-minded. I mean, it doesn't mean not being aware of what's happening in the world, what's happening in the news, and all that other nice stuff. I mean, not nice stuff, but anyway, all that horrible stuff. But yourself, being a very simple person, and Prabhupada was like that. Prabhupada was very, sometimes it's described that Prabhupada was like a child in his simplicity or innocence, let's say innocence. But Prabhupada was quite sophisticated in his dealings with the material world. He's quite expert. So the next one is gravity. Gravity is very interesting. It's not simply what goes up must come down. Gravity means always being focused, really. You know, gravity means like something that pulls you down, okay? So in this particular context, it means always be pulled down or focused on the goal of life. It doesn't mean you can't joke. You can have gravity and be joking at the same time. But your focus is on the goal of life. And then the next two ones are self-control. Self-control means basically when the senses may want to do something, you function on the intelligence platform. It takes a lot of work to make your intelligence strong because the mind is going to come up with a whole bunch of things depending upon the time of the month, depending upon what people say to you, depending upon what time of the day, depending whether you're hungry or whether you're not hungry. I mean, so you got to really focus the mind. That's really important, self-control. And finally, to act always for purification of your existence. So that's austerity in the mode of goodness. And so passion and ignorance are pretty easy to describe. And passion, one performs austerity out of pride. You know, I'm the most austere person, or respect. You want to get respect? He's very austere. He sleeps on the floor. Just like I'm telling you, I'd like to sleep on the floor. So that's passion. Because if I start bragging about it, I sleep on the floor. It's austerity in the mode of passion. If I keep quiet about it, that may be goodness. If I brag about it, that's passion. And then for respect, honor, And these are all austerities in the mode of passion. And, of course, austerities in the mode of ignorance are enacted out of foolishness. You torture yourself. And your whole desire, your impetus, is to destroy or injure others. And you see like Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha, Kumbhakarna, Ravana, they were performing austerities in the mode of ignorance. I mean, they weren't following Shastric rules either. That's another point of austerity in the mode of ignorance. Sometimes in the mode of passion, you're following Shastric rules because you want something in this world. You may be a Vedic person in the mode of passion. Or you may be a Vedic person in the mode of goodness. Or you're not going to be Vedic in the mode of ignorance because you don't follow rules and regulations when you're doing austerities. Okay, so those are material austerities. And so, but we are interested in transcendental austerities, which is, Prabhupada quotes this verse here, it's very interesting. Varnashramacharavata, Purushena Parakpuman, Vishnu Rajate Panta, Nanyatat Karanam, Toshakaranam, sorry, Toshakaranam. And in the verse that Prabhupada quotes, there's a reference to Varnashram. Also, there's another important verse. What is it? Pumbir dvija shreshta varnashrama vibhagasha swanasitasha dharmasha samsithir haritoshanam. And both of those refer to, it's interesting, both of those refer to pleasing, samsithir Haritoshanam. Haritoshanam means to please Krishna. And some siddhir means the goal or the reason for it is to please Krishna. So it's interesting. Of course, varnashram without pleasing Krishna is just mundane, maybe in the mode of goodness, but it's not really transcendental or daiva varnashram. So Srila Prabhupada wanted varnashram established in our Krishna conscious society, especially he wanted Brahmins established, Brahmins, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, Shudras, divisions of labor. But it has to be established to please the Lord. So getting back to the whole point, so those are the verses that Prabhupada refers to in the purport. So the point is that whatever we do, yat karoshi, yat ashnashi, yat jahoshi, dadasi, yat yatapashashi kontiya, tat kurishwa mararpana. Another verse, Prabhupada didn't quote that verse. That whatever you do, whatever you offer, whatever austerities you perform, should be done to please Krishna. How do we know they're pleasing Krishna? We know because Srila Prabhupada has given us the guidelines to understand what pleases Krishna, what doesn't please Krishna. We know chanting the holy names pleases Krishna, preaching Krishna consciousness pleases Krishna. So it's quite easy to understand what austerities we need to perform. And as Lord Chaitanya explains, the principles of surrender to the Supreme Lord are, number one, accept everything favorable, reject everything unfavorable. And those are the two guiding principles for devotional service, not for your sense gratification. And so these are the two guiding principles for all austerities. And devotees are meant to execute austerities. And we want to advance in devotional service. Prabhupada said austerities are essential. But the austerities to be performed have to be performed under the guidance of Krishna's representative, especially his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. So we have about 1 minute left to class, so any questions or comments? Yes, Purvaji. Well, intelligence is not necessarily the Krishna conscious platform. I mean, intelligence can be in the mode of passion or ignorance too, or goodness, like Krishna talks about that in the Gita. But if the intelligence is thinking in terms, the way I do it, all right, let me give a simple explanation. I think in terms of what would Prabhupada say if he was right here, right now, this minute, what would Prabhupada say about this particular activity? Would Prabhupada say, go for it? Would Prabhupada say, why are you doing that, you rascal? Or would Prabhupada say, no? I mean, my point is to integrate, like Srila Prabhupada's directions, or relationship with Srila Prabhupada as the founder of Acharya, in our hearts, so we actually can ask that question of Srila Prabhupada. Because how do we know what pleases Krishna? Because Srila Prabhupada, and what pleases Srila Prabhupada? Pleases Krishna. What displeases Srila Prabhupada? Displeases Krishna. Very simple, right? And that's how we know. It's not a really complex equation.